RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And be careful out there driving on the roads. You get snow squalls rearing up every once in a while. It really is blinding out there. It's icy. So be careful. Hopefully the conditions get better. Visibility, I guess, you know, it all depends if you're in a squall or not. If you're not, it looks like right now it looks pretty good here, at least from our studios. It looks fine. But there's also a couple inches of snow on the ground. We know how that can be. And because it's colder out, yeah, it's not like it's melting anytime soon. I saw the Free Press tweeted out the Upper Peninsula sees up to 2 feet of snow. It's always amazing to me, the lake effect and how much more they have to endure up there than what we do down here in Southeast Michigan. Nonetheless, just be careful out there. Just a word of the wise and a word to the masses. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. I had a bunch of texts coming in. Champ, Red Wings 3-0 against the Leafs this season. Chump, Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell running too much man coverage with all the missing DBs is crazy. Or I should say Lions DC. I'm going to have to assume that's defensive coordinator. Running too much man coverage with all the missing defensive backs is crazy. Champ, Mo Sider. He's been playing phenomenal defense, and he's been a top three defenseman in the league this year. Chump, Jahmyr Gibbs for screwing over my fantasy team that should have won it all. Yeah, well, if it weren't for Jahmyr Gibbs, you probably wouldn't have been in the running in the first place, my friend. But that being said, by the Red Wings, the win last night in overtime, Simon Edvinson with the winner. What a goal. what a sequence that turned out. You know, I think Austin Matthews ripped one off of the crossbar in overtime. Red Wings turn around, skate right down the ice. Looks like the goaltender's going to come out and clear the puck and spring Matthews for what might be a breakaway. He kind of mishandles it. Edvinson sprints up, gets it, skates in on the goaltender, puts a move in, backhand, goal, winner. Just great. Losing both safeties is devastating, and I'm concerned that Kirby Joseph will never be back, at least the way that he was. It's going to be tough to rebuild. That's from Dave Rogers. I've got real concerns about Kirby Joseph, too. We don't really know the full extent of what he's dealing with. It sounded like, from early reports, that, yeah, this is going to be a problem, a chronic problem, perhaps, that he has to deal with. That it's like, I don't know, some kind of cartilage issue that's going to be painful. And is he going to be able to endure pain in addition to what else is going on there structurally? It's really unfortunate because Kirby Joseph is an absolute ball hawk. He's been outstanding for this team, and they need him. I think that, to me, when we go to like turning points of the season, can you look to that Giants game? To me, it was losing Kirby Joseph when they lost him, which was, I think, a week or two prior to that. Because then he start rotating a whole bunch of guys at safety that just, they're not Kirby Joseph. And what Kirby Joseph does is he just patrols out there and takes advantage. And then you compound the problem by losing Brian Branch. Now you've lost two outstanding safeties. And now the team's on a 3-game losing streak going into limping into the last week of the season. And I think you look just right there at the safeties. Dan Campbell's a great guy and great motivator, but he does not make good coaching decisions, and that's the problem. A good coach gets us into the playoffs this year and would have been the difference in a win or two. I think Dan Campbell is better than a good coach. And is he perfect? Absolutely not. Do I wish he was a little more conservative on these fourth down plays? Yeah, I do. For me, it's like a fourth and three decision. I'm more conservative in nature, so I would probably take the points in a lot of these plays where they go for it. But I think when you can take a step back after the season's done, and when you look at your fourth down conversion rate on the season and see how drastically different it is this year from years past where it was very successful, and this year it hasn't been, I'm hopeful that that's going to play a role into decision-making next year. And maybe it's going to be an NFL thing too. Because I imagine it's around the NFL is like that too. As teams have gotten more comfortable going for it on fourth down, that the numbers will tell you otherwise.
Dan Campbell was definitely ahead of his time as far as being aggressive with the fourth down calls. Now you see it. It's not even a question with a lot of these teams. Once they cross the 50, it feels like almost everyone's going for it now, right? And Dan Campbell was kind of the first guy to do this. Maybe he can also be ahead of his time as not going for it as much anymore and pulling back a little bit, because it's one thing to have that mentality and that culture, and I totally get it, and he trusts his players and they believe in him and he believes in them. But sometimes if you don't have the horses to do it, the guys to pull it off, you should kick the field goal. You know, this isn't the same offensive line that was in years past.
No, it's not. There's so many different.
So you don't have
changes.
The tight ends. You don't have like all these pieces that you're making these, converting these fourth downs with last year and the year before. You don't have this year. So maybe, just maybe, sometimes you got to kick it.
Yeah, because you're working with different information.
Yes.
So as the information changes, I think the thought process has to change and evolve as well. And I'm hopeful that can happen sooner than later, because I do think it had cost him a game. At least one game, I think it cost him this year. I think it might be a little unfair to, you know, pick and choose the Steelers game, because they passed on the field goal early, and as things worked out, all they needed was a field goal to win, or a tie, I guess, at the time would have been, but if had they kicked the field goal, it would have been a field goal to win. But that's, you know, couldn't be revisionist thinking too, because them not kicking the field goal happened early in the game, like their second possession. And who knows how different things are going to be, how different teams operate from that point on. 248-539-9797. Same number to text if you'd like to do that. Logan is next up here in 97.1. Hey, Logan.
Hey, Gator. Hey, Cam.
Hey.
Just wanted to, so many points I wanted to touch on after listening for a bit, but I'll start with pretty much, I think, Gator, you brought up like kind of how you view games, you know, with like your own current fandom now. And I think like I've gotten to the point now after watching, you know, the past two or three seasons, and actually for the first time in my, you know, relatively young life, seeing the Lions actually have a group of talent capable of winning the Super Bowl. And as everybody likes to say, have a Super Bowl window. You know, I watch every single game with the thought of, you know, if this team actually can. And I know everybody was riding super high last season when they were 15-2, and rightly so. I mean, they gritted out a lot of wins. But I was going into that Commanders game with as much doubt as I feel like some people had this season, just due to the personnel that we actually had on defense. So I watch every single game with just, I guess, that thought of, you know, what personnel do we have on the field that's actually capable of winning the Super Bowl? So, I mean, for this season, I mean, like you said, as soon as we lost Kirby Joseph, I didn't necessarily check out. Like, I'm an NFL football fan. I watch football all day long, every day, right? So that's kind of why I will always watch the Lions every single time that they are on, and I will enjoy watching them. Obviously, not as much when they get punked like they did versus the Vikings, but, you know, that's just the way that I view it. So for the past couple of seasons, it has really hurt, because there's been moments where you're like, darn, you know, like if we just didn't lose Hutchinson, or if we just, you know, kept one of our cornerbacks when the NFC Championship game, or just a couple of things here and there, we definitely would have had obviously better chances of succeeding. So for this season, I mean, after we lost Kirby and then ended up losing Branch, I just, you know, all that hope of actually having a Super Bowl this season kind of left me, because you need to have guys, personnel being able to defend.
Yeah, and thanks for the call. And particularly in the back end, you know, you lose two guys that are Pro Bowl players like that. That's tough. It's really tough, because it's so exciting when you have them. I mean, to know that they had those guys, they can make up for not having, you know, for having to play backups at the cornerback position. You can make up for that if you've got great safeties. And for years, I wanted the Lions to have that guy. because I always thought that the greatest defenses in the NFL, you know, that we had seen over the last 30 years, I thought that they had a great safety. You know, that Sean Taylor type guy, that Ed Reed type guy. More so Ed Reed, I guess. But and I thought that they had that with Brian Branch. Kirby Joseph is a different type of player. He's the guy that's going to, you know, make the interception, great coverage. But Brian Branch is all over the place. I love Brian Branch. And this injury that he suffered, God, that sucks. It really sucks. He's going to be out for a while. And I think the Lions have to go into the draft and have to look at it and see, you know, how do we evaluate some of these safeties? The safety for Ohio State is outstanding. Likely to be gone on the top 10 picks. You know, but is that a guy that you move up to take? It's not a lineman. But, you know, it'd be tough to pass on if a guy like that is available. But that's just an early take on the draft. I still think they need to address the offensive line. And by the time you get to the draft, you'll know what they've done in free agency. You'll know what kind of decision is made with Frank Ragnow. And it could help set some other wheels in motion. 248-539-9797. The telephone number, you want to offer up your champ and chump votes. Feel free. We got 45 minutes left to do that. And we'll continue with your calls and texts next year on 97.1. Some more feedback coming in. Champ, Drake May, that young man is solid. Chump, Brad Holmes, it's been my chump since the trade deadline. We have the worst coach and team in tough division. Future looks bleak. All right, worst. Let's look at the coaches in the division. You think Dan Campbell's the worst coach in the division? I guess the division's got some pretty good coaches. I get your point there. But I don't think if I ranked them, I don't think I'd have Dan Campbell at the bottom. Future look bleak? No, I don't think the future looks bleak. Kang, do you think the future looks bleak for this team?
I wouldn't say bleak. I think as long as you have a top five, top 10 quarterback in the league, you got a shot. And I think, I don't care what anyone says, Jared Goff is a top 10 quarterback in this league. Look at his numbers. Yeah. Look what he can do when he's protected. I get it. You got to protect him. But he's obviously shown he can win playoff games as well. I will say this, though. There is a concern the window has closed a little bit, not all the way or anything. And this is what I mean by that, Gator. You brought up the Kirby Joseph injury.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going to happen with him?
Yeah.
They just signed him, dude.
I know. That's okay. Money tied up.
Ali, yep. McNeil. Did they just give him a big contract extension?
Yeah, they did.
And did he come back and do much this year?
Not really.
That's where you get in trouble when you start panning out the big money and they don't come through for you. And then you're going to have a lot of dead money. So how can Brad Holmes retool? I'm not saying that those careers over for those two guys, right, by the way. I'm just saying this right now, it doesn't look the best, and you don't know what's going to happen. But they still got to pay other guys, Brian Branch, Laporta, Gibbs. Those are big names they have to pay or move on from. That's where windows can close for teams. They get in salary cap hell, and then they have to dig themselves out of it and do it all over again. I'm not sure what's going to happen with those two guys in the Lions, but the Kirby Joseph thing worries me a lot because the last time we saw him play, when he got hurt, it looked like he needed a stretcher to get off the field. Right. Then he went to the blue tent and started doing wind sprints like he was going to race Usain Bolt. Finished out the game, and then we never saw him play again. But he was listed as day-to-day, week-to-week. They never put him on IR. And 4 weeks pass, 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
And then there was a setback at some point. And yeah, there's major concerns with that. That's why I'm including safety on the list of players that they're going to have to look at. Not only free agency, but possibly the draft. And I don't think the window is close to closing. I think the window is still wide open. But what is to be determined is how are they going to fix the offensive line? Because it needs to be fixed. They have to get that thing back to, I don't know if you'll ever get it back to where it was, because it was elite before. But they have to get it back to being top third for sure. If you want to get the optimum amount of output from your offense. And I do think Goff is absolutely positively good enough. I think he's way better than good enough. I think he is a top eight quarterback in this league. think he just typically makes really good decisions. But when you don't have an offensive line that's opening holes in a run game, and you don't have tight ends that are able to contribute in the pass game or the run game, then your run game's not looking good, and that's not helping out your passing game. And I think that's what we've seen. I think we've just seen this perfect storm of just too much on this team right now. How do they come out of it to begin next year is the big question. And that's why I think the window is still wide open, because you still have great players on this team. You still have a roster just littered with great players, not good players, but great players. But there are question marks about some of those great players. As you mentioned, there's question marks about Kirby Joseph dealing with a chronic injury. Aleem McNeil took a step back this year. Now, is that just injury, getting used to it, and then he'll be fine next year? Well, remains to be seen. They have to ask themselves, how much are they willing to pay Sam Laporta? You know, you still have a couple years left for Jahmyr Gibbs. Do you even worry about Jahmyr Gibbs long-term, because he's a running back, and running backs are disposable in the NFL? He's a weapon for sure. And right now, running backs, you don't pay them that much, so you can still hang on to them, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. But Brian Branch's injury is of major concern. I mean, coming back from, well, he's got the Achilles, correct? So that's tough to come back from, and not likely to come back anytime soon. So they've got some big things they have to do. They rebuild the offensive line. They got to find out if these guys that have been hurt are, when are they going to be able to contribute, and how are they going to be able to contribute? Dave is next up here at 97.1. Hey, Dave.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I sharply disagree with both those points. The numbers you're looking at, the NFL stupid metrics, four-factor metrics from 1973 that they still use as a traditional NFL passing. When you take other much more refined metrics, ESPN's quarterback adjusted rating, other ones out there that take a lot more relevant factors into play, Jared Goff is like night and day.
Thanks, Dave. Brandon, you're next up here at 97.1. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on? I was going to hop in on a Lions topic. I was to start from the beginning. We had two coordinators that we lost. That was huge, too, to make adjustments.
Yes.
My next point is the offensive line is not the same offensive line that we had previous years. That was a huge problem this year. And nobody expected Frank Ragnow to retire right before the season started. Even though we tried to get him middle of the season to come back, maybe that might be something that we can revisit during the offseason. But, man, that was huge not having that Pro Bowl center there. And look what happened in the last previous game.
Right. Now, to be fair, it didn't happen right before this season. It happened, I think, a few weeks after the draft that he announced his retirement. But nonetheless, it was after the draft.
Still, you losing the Pro Bowl.
No, without question, I think that's huge. I think that was the number one thing to happen to this team, is that they had to find a replacement for Frank Ragnow. And, you know, Grant Glasgow is adequate, but he's nowhere near as good as Frank Ragnow. When you take Grant Glasgow away from being a guard, which is his better position, you're weakening another spot.
Then not only that, you know, we lost on this rookie draft, this rookie class as well. It was not good, we always talk about let Brad cook. This draft class wasn't as good. I mean, you know, the previous years as well. I think we're gonna bounce back. It just, you know, this is a setback year. We still, like you said, we still got great players. Hey, we got $1 billion payroll of players, so they got to have to figure it out. I mean, I don't think the window closed. Look at the NFL. It did a total flip-flop. You got the Lions out the playoffs. You got Baltimore possibly about to be out the playoffs. All the top teams from last year, except for like a few of them, is just reversed. You know, you had some teams that were the worst team in the league, like New England Patriots. Now they're on the top of the NFC. So every year is not guaranteed in the NFL. I mean, injuries, health, Laporta being hurt, that hurt us a lot too, man. And just, you know, we go bounce back. It just, we got to have a good draft, a good offseason, and whatever. I'm be honest with you, if Campbell got to be making play calls, we need to get a new offensive coordinator.
Well, I think that's and thanks for the call. I think that's definitely on the horizon. I think that's probably one of the priorities for them is to identify who the next offensive coordinator is going to be, because I don't think Dan Campbell wants to be making these calls every game, wants to be the play caller. I think he wants to implement his offense, but have somebody else making the calls. It didn't work out with John Morton. I don't know if they pulled the plug on that too soon or if he's just the wrong guy and identify that, okay, this isn't where his strength is or whatever. Let's find something else. But yeah, that's something that has to be figured out, and they have to find out if the defensive coordinator is somebody they want to continue to work with as a DC, or are they going to, you know, look outside the organization and find somebody else. And that's the big thing, is it's looking outside the organization and not promoting from within, but giving somebody who's got experience an opportunity. And Lord knows there are plenty of those guys around the league, but can you find the right fit, the right guy who, you know, embodies everything else that you want in an assistant coach? That remains to be seen. Al's in Southfield. You're next up here, 97.1. Hey, Al.
Hi, Scott and King. I'd like to give my champ and chump of the weekend. Yep. My champ of the weekend is Kyle Whittingham for being named as the head coach of Michigan football. I feel he's the right guy that can be able to navigate Michigan away from this cloud of negativity and put them in a position to compete for the national championship. And my chump of the weekend is Ryan Kennedy. I felt he went off script and with his cease and desist order as it relates to these threats and continues to use his full name. And I thought he was just piling on. Just stick to the script and he'll be fine.
I was like, Rankin, the Lions fan.
The Lions fan, yes. Mm-hmm.
You're giving him the chump.
Yeah, I'm giving him the chump.
Okay, fair enough. Write it down. Take that. 248-539-9797 is a telephone number. We haven't really gotten into the whole Kyle Whittingham hire just yet. Maybe we'll take some calls on that, some texts on that as well, and continue to take your calls and texts on the Lions and where they're at and just where you're at as a fan right now. You know, are you happy that what happened on Thursday happened to be put out of your misery, so to speak, and moving on? Or, you know, is it disappointing? Were you hoping that we could win that game and then you could still have hope for this week? Packers ended up losing to the Ravens. And, you know, Baltimore looked awfully good in that game with their backup quarterback. Packers had their backup quarterback in there, but their backup quarterback might be better than their starting quarterback. But the Lions would have had a chance going into last week of the season. Could have been interesting. And unfortunately, it's not there. It's not there because what they did was lose in a most disturbing way. It's the worst loss, in my opinion, in the Dan Campbell era because of the circumstances and situation of that game and what it meant. To me, it was the worst. We'll discuss next year, 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
You know, one thing that has kind of quietly happened this season, Kang, Al-Qaeda Muhammad has double-digit sacks on the season. He's got 11. He had two more in the game on Christmas Day. And that goes with, was Hutch have 13? So he's got a career high with 13. Al-Qaeda Muhammad has 11. I think it's gone completely under the radar. Does that mean the Lions don't have to search for that other edge rusher? No, I don't think it means that. I think you can't have enough edge rushers. What I think it does mean is that's a heck of a turnout for a guy who's the second fiddle.
No, it's nice, man. It just lets you know he might be just a specialist, which is okay. Third and long, obvious passing down situations, get him out there. He obviously can get to the quarterback. They're still going to need another edge, a guy that can set the edge, stop the run. I know the prototypical type of size they want, someone kind of just like Hutch. Marcus Davenport, he's a big, bigger defensive end. Obviously, you need him to stay healthy. I'm not saying bring back Davenport, but they like that size and that build. But Muhammad, definitely. You can't be mad at that. I mean, that's unexpected, and you'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about, can you find another guy opposite of Hutch? I mean, Hutch has been, fortunately, knock on wood, been healthy the whole season, and so has Al-Khadi Muhammad. And, both of those guys in double-digit sack territory, I think that's pretty impressive. I don't think I expected Al-Khadi Muhammad to be the guy to step up and be 11. I thought 7, 8, sure, sounds doable, but 11. He's gotten them in bunches. They've come in. There's certain games where he's really stepped up, and the Lions defense took advantage of Max Brosmer and got after him for 7 sacks as a defense. Unfortunately, the offense couldn't stop the Vikings defense from getting after Jared Goff, and Jared Goff didn't help himself out either. And the offense just couldn't get on track, and thus the season's over with. And I'm bummed because I was looking forward to having something more at stake going into the last week of the season. Now, would it be realistic to think that the Vikings could beat the Packers if the Lions had beaten the Vikings? Probably not. But it would have been fun to try. This would have been like several years ago when the Lions were going into Green Bay the last game of the season with an 8-8 record. And then just before game time, they find out that they're knocked out of the playoffs because Seattle beat the Rams. But the Lions didn't care. They still went out there and they fought and they beat the Packers and they sent Aaron Rodgers literally packing after that game. And there was a certain satisfaction with that. There's not going to be much satisfaction this weekend. I don't know what satisfaction there could be. There's little things, I guess. Can you stop Caleb Williams from throwing for 270 yards? Because if he does get 270, that gives him 4,000 for the year, which would be the first time ever a Bears quarterback will have thrown for 4,000 yards. You don't want to be the team that he does it against. Plus, you got the motivation that it's Ben Johnson, the former coach here, or former offensive coordinator. I'm not ready for the Bears to be this good, and it looks like the Bears are poised to be this good. And for a while, because they have the young quarterback and because they have a roster around him. Now, the Bears are going to have the same problems every other team is going to have in the offseason, and that is defining which players they need to hang on to, which players they can let go of, and how do you continue to build that roster. But this division's tough. It's real tough. And the Lions just didn't have enough horses to get it done this year, and that sucks. Tim is next up here at 97.1. Hey, Tim. Timmy. I'll put Tim back on hold and see if we can figure out where he's at. John is in Redford. John, you're next up, 97.1. Hello, John. Who's in their phones? Put him on hold. Let me try one more. Try Ryan. Ryan, you there?
I'm there. Can all you guys right. hear me?
I got Ryan. There you are. Yes. Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet, and I'm a fan from California. I'm one of the biggest Lions fans out there, and it's been a real rough year, man. When you say you're bummed, I feel it. But one thing I'm curious about is why we've struggled so much in the third quarter. It's kind of interesting when you look at the data. We only score about 4 points in the third quarter. We score about 9 in the second quarter, and again over 9 in the fourth quarter. And it seems like a lot of the top teams are jumping out in the third quarter. Why is that we struggle so much there, right? And what's going on with Campbell as offensive coordinator and head coach, maybe scheming it up? I don't know. I'm just curious about your guys'
take on that. No, I think it's – and thanks for the call. I appreciate it, Ryan. I think it's a fair question to ask what happens to the Lions in the third quarter. Why has the third quarter been an issue for them? Because it has been. Fair. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I think if they can identify it, great. And they can get to fixing it. But I don't know if this is one of these weird statistical anomalations, as we like to say on the show, or if this is really something. But, you know, you go into halftime, kind of regenerate, regroup, and then they come out in the third quarter, and it's not the same. I don't know why that is. As far as the other part with Dan Campbell calling plays, I don't think Dan Campbell wants to call plays. I think he did it out of necessity, what he deemed as necessity. And we'll see if they go out and find an offensive coordinator or play caller in the offseason. I imagine they will. I don't know who it's going to be. But, again, I hope it's somebody that has experience in calling plays.
Calling plays is kind of like an art form. I mean, yeah, of course, if everyone executes, most plays work. But there's adjustments to be made. There's counter moves to be made to what the defense is showing you, what they're giving you, right? The third quarter for the last two games for the Lions have been pathetic. So remember the Steelers game, Gator? They only had three plays, and the safety happened. That was it for the third quarter against the Steelers. For the Vikings, punt, interception, interception. They had a total of nine plays.
Yeah, that's not good.
That was the third quarter.
Yeah, and we've seen that.
And the Vikings scored six, I think, in the third quarter.
Yeah, we've seen that in the last couple of games. They just haven't had the opportunity. But you know, part of that is that, okay, if your offense isn't going to be able to, if you're going to go three and out, that's brutal. When the other team is able to launch a long drive, which we've seen all too often happen. I don't know how they go about fixing it, but yeah, we'll see. But a play caller, I feel like that's the new hotness in the NFL, is calling somebody a play caller as opposed to the offensive coordinator. But they're going to be inheriting a lot of weapons. And I would imagine that this is a cherry job in the NFL to call plays for the Detroit Lions. That even as they struggled this year, they're still, you know, averaging close to 30 points a game. It's not as many as it did a year ago. But we've talked ad nauseum about the reasons why we think that is, and it's linked entirely to the offensive line and the tight ends. That it hasn't been the same group of guys. They've had to work with backups to the backups. That's a big difference. You're working with backups, it's one thing. But when you're working with backups to the backups, that's a whole other kind of depth that just not many teams have. Eddie is next up here, 97.1. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Gator. How are you, sir?
All right.
Hey, so to answer your question, I'm so happy the season is over. I felt bad for these guys. And, you know, hope is not a real strategy. I think going into it, we would not be able to consistently sustain the level of play that we needed to be successful. And it really starts with the interior, both interior defensive line and the offensive line. This offense, number one, is predicated on Jared Goff being able to run play action. They weren't able to do any of that.
No.
So they were just not, I mean, they were not operating from a very, very top level. So they need to rebuild that, you know, interior, both sides of the ball. Second, I mean, my humble opinion, I think our linebackers, we need a pretty big upgrade there too. I love Jack Campbell, and Jack Campbell is like the old school, like, I'm going to get 130 tackles a year. But we need somebody who's a super athletic person to, make plays, i.e. like a Brian Branch, but obviously he plays safety. And then another thing I wanted to bring up, I really believe whoever wins this NFC North year over year will then take a step back the next year. And the reason I say that is kind of, it's the opposite of the Patriots or the teams that play in the weaker divisions, is that the division is so strong that once you start playing that first place schedule against other teams, you're not going to be able to sustain a level of playing at that high level without taking a step back. It's just way too hard, because the NFL is built on kicking your butt and making you come back to ground. That's just the way the NFL's built. So I'm pretty optimistic still. Listen, I'm one of those homers, I guess. I love the team. I've always loved the team since I was 4 years old. So, and I'm in my 40s now. So I will always back this team. But if they do not get interior line help on both sides of the ball, it will be a
difficult. Yeah, it'll be difficult. And thanks for the call, Eddie. I mean, I think I'm surprised that the defensive interior wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be this year. DJ Reader, I didn't think was as good as this year. Ali McNeil did not return to form just yet. I'm not, you know, deciding he can't. I'm just saying this past year, I think it's safe to say that he was not the player he was before he got hurt. And he only played, you know, roughly half a season's worth too. But Tyleek Williams, the rookie, did not make this immediate impact that you were hoping to see. But I think a lot of times with defensive tackles, it takes a year or two before you start to see that. I mean, Ali McNeil right away, I don't think was this great defensive tackle. But after a couple of years, like, oh, you know, Ali McNeil, he's a guy that's going to get a contract. So hopefully the improvement can come there and the development can come there. As far as, you know, the Jack Campbell stuff is concerned, Jack Campbell's great. Now, are the Lions going to have to find themselves another linebacker to play next to him? Yeah. I don't think Alex Anzalone is necessarily going to be back here next year. So they'll have to take a look. And if they find that guy, if they see that guy is there, that super athletic linebacker that can make every play out there on the field, then they're going to have to consider that. I think Sonny Styles, the linebacker from Ohio State, is outstanding. I like a couple of Ohio State guys. Sonny Styles, the linebacker, and Caleb Downs, the safety. I love both of those players. But neither of those players is an offensive tackle or an offensive guard or an offensive center. Draft is what it is. You never know what's going to land in the Lions' lap. Brad Holmes is usually pretty unconventional. He just finds the best player that he wants, and he goes and get them regardless of position. So you just don't know. 248-539-9790.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This is 97.1. Some more ticket texts. My champ is Santa. My daughter got a ton of gifts. Chump, the entire Lions organization, wasted year, Scott and Carlton. My oldest son's birthday is Christmas Eve. Every year we take him to Dave and Buster's. We were unable to do that this year due to everybody being sick. Did not have the kids over. Did not go to the families. It was very, very rough year, George and Rochester. I think a lot of people are sharing that same story. Kang's whole household has been going through it. Their Christmas was derailed. Had to audible the audible, which sucks. I know a bunch of people have had to kind of change plans or cancel plans at the last minute because of illnesses. And there's a bug going around. Everybody, you know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Drink lots of fluids. Vitamin C. And again, wash your hands. 248-539-9797. Tim is next up here, 97.1. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long time listener, go way back. Real quick, I know you guys are taking a lot of calls today, but I'm trying to touch on the coach in the NFC. I do think that Dan Campbell is the least of those coaches, because I've always been the advocate that when he got here, he has improved, but at the same time, he still is not a sideline coach strategically or with clock management. And going forward now with not the same having the same offensive line, I think it's starting to get fans are starting to get tired of that. And Brad Holmes, I think on your station you say a lot of people worship him. I think a lot of people are getting tired of him. I think the last two, I think he's holding his hat on those two first drafts, but he has not done nothing to the draft, and he hasn't done anything lately at the trade deadline. I think people are getting tired of that, and the fans are getting tired of that.
I appreciate the call, Tim. I think the trade deadline stuff's always interesting because you don't know. You don't know what's available. All you can judge things on really are if a player is moved, would you have made the same move or a similar move to try to acquire that same player? Because that's the only known commodity. I don't know how many offensive linemen were available at the trade deadline. Did I want them to get one? Absolutely. Absolutely. But only one lineman went. And we're a very average offensive lineman that was dealt.
But even then, should the Lions have made that move?
I understand.
You know? It was a six-round pick. You're talking about Trevor Penning going to the Chargers? It was a six-round pick.
I hear you. And this is where I'm agreeing with that. But the thing is, you don't know what else was there and what else was being asked for. Like, if they wanted something better than that, and they're asking for that player, and the team comes back and says, yeah, it's going to cost a second-round pick. And the Lions like, well, it's not worth it. You know, it's worth a fourth-round pick. We're not going to do that. Which gets to my point. My biggest change, I'd like to see a change in philosophy from Brad Holmes, is I'd like to see Brad Holmes not being as aggressive on draft day and moving so much on draft day, assets like fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, keep moving over, or the future third round picks or whatever, to constantly move up and draft somebody in the third round, which is what we've seen a lot. You know, you look at this team with a Hendon Hooker, Isaac Tesla, Giovanni Manu. I think Broderick Martin was another one they had to move around and get. And all the draft capital that was used to take those guys, I'd like to hang on to that draft capital because that's the stuff that you can use at the trade deadline and be aggressive. Because the trade deadline, all teams are looking for is draft picks. They're not looking for bad players. They're looking for draft picks. And you're dealing with known commodities at that point. I want that known commodity from that team, and it's going to cost me this third-round pick. So from that, that's the disagreement, I guess, that I have with Brad Holmes. And I don't even know if it's a disagreement. It's just I look at what he has done, and I guess I would like to see things done differently in that regard. Less aggressiveness when it comes to moving up to take guys that are you're going to take in the third and fourth round, and more aggressiveness when it comes to the trade deadline. But, you know, it is what it is. And unfortunately, this season has worked out the way that it has. And I thought that game against the Vikings on Christmas Day is the worst game I've seen in the Dan Campbell era, given what was at stake. They had to win. And they lost. Badly. Mike Valenti joins me in studio. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
How was your Christmas?
Good. And now we're back in a whiteout and things and a bomb cyclone. Right. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a white squall.
So
looking for Kate Beckinsale outside.
We're just going to, I'm going to take Dan Campbell's line of, you know, we're going to look at everything. I want to show you what everything looks like. I've come up with what everything is. Here are all the places you could look at evaluation. And I want to leave it to the people. Instead of playing the blame game, I'm going to offer you how far are you willing to go if everything is on the table? So we're going to, because I feel like, maybe I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's already gotten their grievances out about what went down on Christmas Day. So, like, I've got something a little more forward-looking. But I want to know if people are ready to really look at everything. So I've got, like, five things. And we'll just lay it out, and then I'll get yelled at until 6. It'll be super exciting.
I don't think you get yelled at.
It'll be exciting.
I think you do the yelling.
I've tried to not do as much of that. The vocal cords as I age, I need to be careful.
Understand.
But we're going to do that, and we'll just see where it goes. And obviously, can we say that? We'll do that on Monday. And if there's any kind of gap in the Lions' action, I can offer my Kyle Whittingham thoughts. U of M.
Yeah, that is, my quick 2 cents. Thought it was a great hire for him. I think he's a hell of a coach. I just don't know if it's a long-term thing. And some of what's been said, we're going to get more into it tomorrow, but kind of interesting the way things are shaking out and really throwing Sherrone Moore under the bus.
Mm.
What's happening there?
Mm.
And not that he shouldn't be, but I hope people aren't rewriting history.
Michigan? Never.
I'm just
sorry.
Just
Had to get one last one in before the end of the year. All right, we'll talk to you next.
Yeah, you've got time with that, and look forward to hearing those takes as we move on. Look, as far as the Lions are concerned, one last game. It's against the Bears. We find out it's going to be a 4:25 kick next week. We got some great football coming up in the NFL. I can't wait for it this weekend. We got the college games in the college football playoff. That's going to be a ton of fun. But then you've got all these do-or-die games in the NFL. Teams trying to make the playoffs. Teams trying to win their division. Teams trying to get the number one seed. That's what the last week in the league is all about. And we're all about it to enjoy that. Unfortunately, the Lions are not going to be taking part in that. And that does, in fact, and truly, suck. Look forward to Mike Valenti next with the Mike Valenti Show and Rico here on 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.